Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Today on the show, I'm joined by an incredible guest that I had the privilege of sitting down with a couple of years ago, Casey Van Norman. Casey's a licensed professional counselor, Bible teacher, and founder of the Made Well House. She's also the author of books like Named by God and Raw Faith. Her life story is a powerful testimony of how God has continued to heal and restore so many areas of her life, including her marriage, identity, health, and freedom from addiction. Casey's journey, it's going to inspire you. She's here to remind us all how good God is, even in the darkest moments of life. Let's go there now.
Man, it is an honor to be here.
There's something about you. You've got some extra juice in you. You've got some extra fire inside. But Casey, what was it like growing up? I mean, did you always have that kind of energy and just dynamo to you?
You know, God always wired me pretty type A. I've definitely had a lot of passion, you know. I just, passion can go really, really good or really, really bad, depending on who's guiding it. And so for the majority of my life, I was guiding that passion and that fire on my own terms. And it took me in a lot of bad places. And I grew up in a very dysfunctional home, had a lot of emotional abuse, physical abuse, had an alcoholic father, and saw a lot of things that I didn't know how to process as a child. And so I took those really deep woundings into my teenage years. I was a very rebellious teenager. And, you know, all the while during the day, going to church, playing the Christian part, really had everybody fooled, including myself, that I was a good Christian girl. And when the lights went out, living a complete, you know, double life, just as a hypocrite and a phony and a fake, and, you know, so busy doing the things of God that I missed God. And I was a cutter. I was very sexually promiscuous. I, you know, pretty much dabbled into anything, trying to find that high and that healing and all the things external. You know, took it into my marriage, 5 years into my marriage to just a wonderful man who saved himself for marriage, who loved me dearly, had an affair, committed adultery and betrayed him. And for 3 years inside my marriage was in and out of this affair. God wrecked me for that, brought me to a place where I could no longer even hold the lie and the sin, attempted to take my life because that really seemed like something that was going to benefit everyone. So I attempted to take my life after had a really rough time with the church. We were involved in church, and instead of coming alongside us, the church pushed us out. And all this before the age of 30. And the Lord, being gracious and faithful despite my unfaithfulness, he pulled me up out of that a suicide attempt that would have succeeded on human terms, but he intervened in a divine way, and he brought me up out of that place so that I would never be able to boast in that no, I could never look to any other man or any other thing to bring me up out of that place. But it was only his mercy, love, and grace alone, and he redeemed my marriage. He restored my marriage. My husband showed the forgiveness of Jesus Christ right there in front of me for the very first time in my life. I began to grasp and understand a forgiveness that Jesus had for me despite what I did. It was a beautiful thing. And so we were trekking along, and God was being so good to us, and our children are healthy and well, and we're doing all these things in the church, wonderful things. And I get the phone call at the age of 31 that I had cancer, that I had incurable cancer. So here we are with this title, what happens when God picks a fight.
Casey, I want to make sure everyone understands this. The redemptive power of God is alive in your life. You're kind of like on an explosive vertical climb before this phone call. I mean, seriously, yeah. In Christianity, you're going. The message is unbelievable. Women are just gravitating to you. And then, what was it, October 25th, I think, 2011, the phone call comes.
Right.
Your gynecologist does an ultrasound. Take us into what he told you.
Yeah, so all I knew, you know, before getting the phone call that I had cancer, is that I was supposed to tell my story. That's about all God would give me, is just tell your story, tell your story. And so I just started doing that, you know, and inviting people into this place with me, and it's breathtaking. It will blow your mind, the stories that I hear when I allow people into that place with me. So I'm 31 years old, and I have this horrific pain in my side. It's just debilitating. Long story short, find out that I had an ovary just completely rupture. So they rushed me into an emergency hysterectomy. They find while they're in there a golf ball size mass in my abdomen. So my surgeon at the time, praise the Lord, just a godly woman. That's a whole divine story in itself. I don't have time to tell, but he was just speaking into her ear, telling her to scrape it out, to spend hours. She was being mocked and laughed at in the operating room by the other surgeons, saying, you know, you're a fool, just leave it there, it's nothing. Come to find out, it's lymphoma, it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 3, incurable, the incurable kind. Mm-hmm. So immediately I go, as anybody who's had cancer or struggling with that or has been through chemotherapy, you know, you just feel like cattle being prodded through a pin. You know, you suddenly you're doing chemo and you don't have any hair and you feel like a semi-truck has hit you and you can't get up out of bed and you're not the person that you were just a few months ago. And, you know, that was what knocked me out from under myself so quickly, is just really the chemo, because I was pretty asymptomatic before. I didn't have any symptoms of cancer. And so then suddenly to be so sick and really dying, you know, from the toxins that are in my body now.
Casey, hope was fading on you too.
Yeah.
Talk to people who are wrestling, Casey, just for a moment. The wind isn't just knocked out of them. They've been sucker punched so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel so alone and so lost. And the emotion is just everywhere. It's bouncing all over the place. And they don't know what to do or say. What was it like for you in that moment?
You know, Isaiah 43 is what I want to speak over people right now that feel like they're speaking to God and he's not answering, that they feel like, you know, how are they supposed to believe in this loving God? And it just feels like he's not there. They just feel overwhelmed by life, by disease, by betrayal, by relationships. And, you know, Isaiah 43 says, I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. The interesting thing about this verse is that it's God saying, when all of this happens. So it's not a question of will trial or suffering or pain come. God is loving and gracious in the fact that he says, this is going to happen to you. Pain and trial and suffering, you're going to feel like you have been sucker punched, like I have picked a fight with you. But the most beautiful thing that completely changed my life was understanding that this was God. This, all of this, all this stuff that the world doesn't want to recognize and wants to push God in the corner and wants to just say, he doesn't do those things. He's not a God of pain. He's not a God of suffering or trial. Then who is he? If he's not a God of all of those things, then who is God? Because that's not the creator that I want to believe. I want to believe in the creator that is the author of all of that. That's what gets me up every day. And so that he reassures us and he promises that it's not going to consume you. It's not going to overwhelm you in so much that you're not going to feel my presence. I promise. He promises us that he will steady us. Life is going to be life, and the waves are going to come, but in that he is the anchor that grounds us and centers us. And we have hope in that. We have hope, and we can rest assured in that, and that's beautiful to me.
But most of us, Casey, feel lost, though. We start thinking that God isn't there, he's not there for us, that he's not going to show up or whatever, he's not going to, quote, be in it. We've heard all the messages, you know, God isn't going to keep you from it, but he'll rescue you in it and more. And it's like, God, When's the Calvary coming? When are you going to come down here? And by the way, in your new book, Raw Faith, and by the way, I've heard Casey speak many times, this woman can light it up like very few I've ever heard in my life. Casey, listen, you go to the woman with the issue of blood for a moment. Why did you go to her? Because it's about faith, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I went to her because she was the least likely candidate to trust God. She was the least likely person that I could find after all that she'd been through, 12 years of pain, bleeding, suffering, doctors telling her no, people rejecting her. You know, if you look back at the context, her husband had probably left her. She was probably, you know, smelled really bad, had no money probably from house to house. Who knows what she was having to do to survive. And this is the woman that just hears that Jesus is in town. I mean, she doesn't even know anything about Jesus. She wasn't the elite. She wasn't privy to that knowledge about who Jesus was, that he was the savior of the world, the God made flesh. She just hears that this guy is in town and that he's been healing people. And she is saying in herself, if I can just touch the hem of his robe, then I will be healed. It is that faith that will change us. That's raw faith. That is where we are completely laid bare. We have nothing else. We have no one else. And that is exactly where God wants to take us, to that place. And she believes and she finds him and she touches and she pushes her way through the crowd. You know, she's sweating and she's bleeding and she's throbbing in pain and reeling, and she just touches the hem of his robe and she is healed because Jesus in that moment acknowledged that faith, which was just as small as a mustard seed. That's incredible to me.
But there's a battle in the mind, though, Casey. At the same time, it's like, Lord, I'm believing, I'm praying, I'm reaching. But there was something unique about her, though, Casey, wasn't there? Probably a lot of people, when he's going through the crowd, are pressing and they're touching him. But he said, "Who touched me?" Something happened when she reached, right? There must have been something different about her. Or there was something different about the way she was perceiving all this, or him, or something. Is there?
Absolutely. That's the whole goal and the whole vision of Raw Faith. And I just picture her pushing through the crowd. She couldn't turn around. There was no way back. She was there, and she was completely laid bare. There was nothing else for her to turn to. And in that moment, when the power surged out from Jesus into her, and he experienced that, I do believe. I mean, you know, there were other people touching him. Other people crowding around him and pulling his cloak. But it was her. It was her touch that released his power that he felt, that he experienced on such an intimate level. And I believe it was that vulnerable, raw place that I do believe God honors. You know, that's where I just really want to encourage and speak life into people, is that God is not surprised by our doubt. It's just like Peter standing there in the waves with him. You know, we look at Peter and we think, oh, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to think. Well, the Bible never tells us that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. The Bible just says that Peter saw the waves. So we're looking at Jesus, but in our periphery, we see the waves. And it doesn't mean that we take our eyes off of Jesus. We still love him. We still want more of him. We want to know him deeply, but we see the waves. And I think that's just the point, is that that is where he meets us, in the waves. The process is the point, not the destination, because God wants us to know him based on who he is, not what he can do for us. And that's real faith. That's the faith that he honors. That's the faith that will change us, give us satisfaction, abundance. It doesn't mean that we're not going to doubt. I go over in the book, you know, what toxic doubt looks like.
Right.
And so that's the difference. There's a toxic doubt that's very condemning, that's from us or from Satan or from the world, and it's a condemning doubt. You know, then there's a doubt that's a simple wrestling with God on things that we just are not sure about, but it doesn't mean that we're not looking straight on into his eyes, and he is in with us in that place, showing us more of who he is. Every day, you know, and I mean, don't you think the Israelites felt that way as they're wandering for 40 years? I mean, we know they experienced doubt, but to wrestle with doubt, it's okay. It's okay.
It's the real raw stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the kind of journey where you realize God's bigger, Casey, than your emotions and your frustration. You're just a human being trying to make sense of a world that's not the way it's supposed to be. But if you'll step back for a moment, You can also begin to see where God serendipitously drops into your life. Those moments that remind you that he's there. I'm thinking about November 29th, 2011. There was a young man named Micah Joel in the ER room. Tell us about what happened.
I was rushed into the emergency room. They thought I had a blood clot. They really thought I was dying from the chemo, had an allergic reaction. And so I was rushed into the emergency room. I was just felt like I was on my deathbed, just felt horrible, having such a bad day. And lo and behold, a guy walks in, a young nurse in training walks in named Micah Joel. And, God just used him just as a sweet reminder as he walks in and he begins to tell me his story. And his story was horrific. And he'd been diagnosed with a brain tumor. He had surgery and had this tumor removed. And they were telling him now he still only had months to live. But this guy was just, so on a high of joy. It just flooded out of him into the room and it spilled over onto me. And in that moment that God would be loving enough and gracious enough to send me Micah Joel. And then just a few months later, sitting in my bed, just really believing that, I was dying and wanted to take myself out and I couldn't do this anymore. My daughter, my at that time 6-year-old daughter, walks in at 11 o'clock p.m. out of the blue and says, "Mommy, I love Jesus." And I get emotional every time. I love Jesus and I want him to be the Lord of my life. And I want to serve him the rest of my life. And I'm a sinner. And I know that I'm not good, but I know that in Jesus, he makes me good. And I know that in him are good things and everything for the rest of my life is for him. It's unbelievable in the middle of the night. And so it's just these reminders that God is who he says he is. It is not always our circumstance. It is not what we can see, what we are going through. God is faithful despite what we see and when we are faithless.
Casey, what I love about you too is you'll normalize reality, denial, depression, discouragement. It's easy to go in those directions and get lost in them. I love this story. February 3rd, 2012, why it caught my attention was February 3rd is my birthday. And on that day, you're in a hellacious place, the closet in your room. God shows you something again, tucked away. He had a gift for you for that moment. It was your mom's journals. Tell us about it.
I lost my mom to cancer 2 years before I was diagnosed with cancer. She was 50 years old, a beautiful woman who loved the Lord. And a few years before she passed, she would write in her journal, all of her struggles and all of her things. And so on that day specifically, that February 3rd day, I just remember it so vividly. I was, again, just wrestling and wanted so to. I remember just being in my closet, sitting there. I remember trying to just do laundry. I just wanted to get the laundry done so that I could say that I was still a mother and a wife and I could do a load of laundry. And even that task that, had been so simple to me was so hard. And so I'm sitting in the closet crying, sobbing as I fold, each little piece of underwear for my son and the t-shirts. And I'm sitting there and I remember just slamming my fist on the floor and screaming, "I want my mom. I just want to talk to my mom. I want to call her on the phone and say, how did you do this, mom? How did you get through this?" And I was just so mad. I was just so angry with God that she was gone, that I couldn't talk to her, and now that I was going through this similar path. And I look over to the left a little bit, and there at the bottom of my closet, under all of my clothes, sitting right next to me, were all of her journals, and right there pulled open, and I talk about it in the book, and I give the specific journal entry she wrote that day, but it was just specific to what I would have asked her. It was the specific response that she would have given me in that moment, just what her struggles were and the hope and the power that God was speaking into her life despite her circumstance. And I just learned that it is through the pain, through the fire, through the trials, the depression, the doubt, it is through those places where he shows himself to us in those ways.
Casey, we're battling time, and I want to bring this back to our listeners. I just have a feeling somebody, they're lost and they're crying out. And by the way, some of them are trying to get everything right in their life because they believe if they do everything right, that somehow God will show up. And the Lord loves righteousness. But Casey, you bring this thing to closure by being what you call as anti-religious, and you focus on hope and you talk about God. I mean, bring it home for us right in the midst of it all the pain, all the suffering, all the stuff that's going on. Speak to our hearts.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, 2 Corinthians 12. Please, those of you who are going through these places, and maybe you're just listening right now and you're just bawling because you don't understand why he would betray you or why she would disappoint you or the hurt or the pain or the abuse or the abandonment or the neglect, I just want you to understand that in weakness, God's power is made perfect. His grace is sufficient. Cry out to him. He will show up, and just know that he works out of redeemed desires. He will give you the desires of his heart, and they will guide you and they will center you, and you will claim that and you will believe that. I see it every single day where I work and live with these kids, the trauma, the abuse of the children that we bring in, what they have gone through. They are the people that will change the world, because all that's the people in the Bible, the people who have gone through tremendous pain and agony and disappointment. He will change the world through those people, the broken, bleeding, raw people of the world.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton. I want to thank Casey Van Norman for her vulnerability and boldness in allowing God to use her story for his glory. I know the truth she shared today is going to impact a lot of people, a lot of our listeners. Thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people?
If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.